Welcome here again this morning. I'm Michelle, and I'm really happy to be with you today. A few weeks ago, Murray and I traveled by motorcycle from Manitoba back to Kelowna. It took us 3 days, and you'll see some slides coming on the screen. The first day in particular, the sky and the landscape was expansive. It was impossible to take in everything that the eye could see into the distance and from one side to the other. Some people think that the prairies are boring, but the beauty and the expanse was breathtaking. It made me think about God and his incredible creativity and diversity. There is beauty in the detail of every landscape, the bright yellow canola fields, the purple flax, the golden wheat, all on display along the way. In contrast to the vastness, as we drove through the mountains, the grandeur and the awesomeness of their sheer size took my breath away. God's creativity, again, was on vivid display. There was a point along the way close to Castle Mountain in Alberta that I knew that the mountain was kind of just beside us, but it was hidden by the lush forest that we were driving through. We came around the corner to see this spectacular mountain in plain view, and we stopped to take this picture. What's the point of my little travel dialogue this morning? Our view of God can be enhanced or limited by our surroundings. In the mountains, in the peaks and the valleys, around the curves of life, sometimes we tend to see up and down. We have a harder time seeing far and wide because of what surrounds us. In the prairies, in the broad strokes of life, we can miss God because the perceived sameness and the sheer expanse of it all. In both the mountains and the prairies, we can find God or miss him. We can see him near or far, distant or as close as our breath. Today, we want to consider Jesus. Today, I hope that we can take on a prairie view as we look at God, as we expand our vision from side to side and into the distance to encounter God as bigger than we imagined, and yet so personal and close. The song of summer that I have chosen is the one that we just sang, I Speak Jesus. In this song, there are various descriptors about what Jesus' name provides. And today we'll focus on just a few of those. But first, a few questions. What is in a name? Is there value in the meaning of a name? Why is the name of Jesus significant? And finally, what does his name provide? So what's in a name? The historical value of naming shows that different cultures name in different ways. Many have used biblical names or names of saints or martyrs down through history. In Bali, they have specific names depending on your birth order. If you were a firstborn son, you would likely be called Wayan or Putu, Gidi or Nengha. It actually would be a good way to be able to place people in family order, wouldn't it? In numerous cultures, children are named after grandparents or significant family members. In Ghana, the belief is that the child will inherit the good qualities of their namesake. An overview of the historical importance of name giving says, in historical contexts, name giving served as a powerful tool for conveying meaning, identity, and cultural values. Names often reflected family lineage, religious beliefs, societal expectations, or even desired traits for the child. They connected individuals to their heritage, communities, and spiritual beliefs, shaping their sense of self and their place in the world. Is there value in the meaning of names? When we were having children, we actually researched the meaning of any names that we liked, because we thought it was significant. Our youngest daughter is Matea, and her name means gift from God. She is definitely that to us and to all those who know her. Did her name shaping inform who she has become? Interesting things to ponder. The name Barnabas is of Aramaic origin, and it means son of encouragement or son of consolation. When we look at the Barnabas in the New Testament, he definitely was that. John in Hebrew means God is gracious or God has been gracious, and John experienced the graciousness of Jesus. Peter means rock or stone. Jesus said these very words to describe Peter in Matthew 16:18. Mary in Hebrew has many possible meanings. Two of them are bitter and beloved. Mary, the mother of Jesus, knew both bitter suffering, bitter sorrow, and being beloved. James in Hebrew means the one who follows, and the New Testament James that we know followed Jesus wholeheartedly. The meaning of Michelle is a question. Who is like God? It's interesting that awe and wonder as it relates to God is something that has always been a part of me. Is a person shaped and informed by the name that we give them? Some names pass without notice. Some people bring great meaning to their names. Think of Mother Teresa, for instance, or Anne Frank, or Martin Luther. Each have had significant impact on people and culture. The meaning of their names played out through their lives. Jesus was a common name in that day. It has a very significant meaning. In Hebrew, Jesus means Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh, the Lord, saves. So why is the name of Jesus significant? In some ways, it's obvious because of the meaning. It's also significant because according to that culture and that day, Jesus should have been named after his perceived father, Joseph. But in Matthew 1:21, while Mary was still pregnant, an angel of the Lord said to Joseph, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus' name is significant because it was God-given with specific meaning. This man would change history. This man would usher in a new covenant, a new way. The name of Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was and is the fulfillment of over 300 prophecies. He is the provision for reconnecting us with holy God. His death and his resurrection paid the debt of our sin, and he provided everything that we need for life and godliness. He is both the provision and the fulfillment. So what keeps us from believing it? Why don't we live into all that he died to provide? What hinders us? Many things, really. Doubts, fears, seemingly unanswered prayers, things not as they should be, evil in the world, to just name a few. I think we tend to box God in to only what we can understand or perceive, and then we don't like the God that we've created. My doubts don't change the fact that he is eternal, and that he is creator, that he never lies, and that he will return as King of Kings. My fears don't change his love and his desire that everything he has created would flourish. An acronym I've heard for fear is false evidence appearing real. My seemingly unanswered prayers don't necessarily account for the good work and the good fruit that has come through the perseverance and the trials. Things not as they should be and evil in the world are not his choices, but ours. Jesus breaks all of the boxes and he cannot be contained. He is totally other. Some of our culture lives with very strict, firm views about God, but most of our culture lives in a way that usually doesn't even acknowledge God, his existence, or his intimate involvement in our very life and even breath itself. Even as believers, we can live this way. We have an individualistic idea that things depend on us. Paul encountered a people similar to that, yet they still had curiosity about what they didn't know. And this is what he had to say to them in Acts 17. As I read this passage, consider a prairie view and allow your heart to take in the expanse of this description of who Jesus is. Acts 17, 22 to 28. Then Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus, and he said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you were very religious. For as I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." Could it be that we are ignorant of the very God that we worship? Let's carry on. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps look out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In him is life. Allow your heart and your mind to wander the expanse of the prairie horizon and realize how vast, how wonderful and expansive God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, triune God is. And he welcomes us in and he gives us a glimpse of him up close, like the grandeur of Castle Mountain. With that in mind, the Abram Publications on the Meaning of Jesus says this: "The story of Jesus is about upgrading the software of your mind to an entirely different sort of looking at the world and oneself and God and other people. The story of Jesus is about getting a whole new heart, as we learn in Ezekiel, and a whole new spirit, as we learn in Psalms, and a whole new mind, as we learn in Romans." Wow. With that perspective, what does the name of Jesus provide? The song "I Speak Jesus" points out a few things that Jesus' name provides: joy and peace in your presence. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." There have been so many times over and over that God has met me in the mess and given me his peace. One time in particular I remember God giving me such a profound peace was when I was facing brain surgery. And I remember one day my teenage son at the time said, "Mom, how can you have such peace?" And I said, "Mitch, you need to ask God for it and then sit with him until he gives it to you." The next morning, he came up from his room, and he actually looked different. His countenance was different. I said, Mitch, what happened? He said, oh, Mom, I asked Jesus, and I sat with him, and it was like, whoosh, his peace just went all over me, and now I'm okay. How simple. How profound. God is always willing to give his good gifts. We often don't wait with him long enough to receive them. When he promises, he is true to his word, and he will do it. I believe that peace can be one of the starkest contrasts between those who are Jesus followers and those who aren't. Peace can accompany us no matter the circumstances. Peace and joy are weighty and abundant gifts that Jesus provides. He invites us to tap into those by spending time in his presence. The next thing that Jesus' name provides that are expressed in the song are hope and freedom. One of my favorite verses of all is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice that this is not circumstance dependent. All joy and peace as we trust in him. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is another beautiful promise from Yahweh. The Lord saves Jesus. The more that I trust Jesus and act on it, the more I'm attentive to his involvement and care in my life. Also, the more I trust Jesus and the deeper I let him in, the more freedom that I experience. Finally, power, healing, life are the song lyrics, and these also are provisions through Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. John 10:10 says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus already knows us inside and out. He wants us to know and welcome him in. He wants to walk with us as he did with Adam and Eve in the beginning. I once heard a beautiful way to express the word intimacy. Intimacy equals into me see. That's what we can invite Jesus to do with us. And when we do, we encounter his power, his healing, and his abundant life. The name of Jesus provides everything that we need for life and godliness. Not only is there power and healing and life in his name, he also invites us to use the power and authority of his name as well. John 16:24 says, until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. This isn't a genie bottle wish and a come true trick. This is his promise. When we come to him and we seek his face, he is a good father and he wants to supply. And he has no limits. That's why I've chosen I Speak Jesus as my summer song. Through prayer and through the power of his name, I can speak Jesus over every heart and every mind, over addictions, over sickness, over anxiety, over depression, over darkness, over my family, because his name is power, his name is healing, and his name is life. I'm going to invite the worship team up as we finish. At the beginning of the service, you wrote down something that you have a hard time trusting Jesus for. It may be small, it may be big. Today, would you trust the name and the power and the authority of Jesus over that thing that you've written down? Like the wide open expanse of the prairies, let your heart expand to realize that Jesus is way bigger than you've ever imagined, and he's as close as your breath. Would you be willing to take out that paper again and write Jesus boldly over whatever it is that you're having a hard time trusting him with? As you do, speak the name of Jesus over that thing. I'm going to give you a minute to do that. The band's going to start to play. And then I'm actually going to ask you to respond this morning. If you're willing, as we sing these last songs, would you be willing to bring your paper with Jesus written over it to the foot of the cross? There's baskets here, and there's baskets up at the cross in the balcony as well. And I invite you to come and bring it to him in an act of again choosing to trust the name of Jesus that is bigger than we can imagine and closer than our breath. So we're going to sing, and as we do, you can write on your papers and then come and leave them with Jesus, where he's already paid the price to bring power, healing, and life. Let's pray. Jesus, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like the fire. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.